It's a wonderful thing when you have confidence in someone. You can trust them. You know that what they say, they mean, that they will fulfill their word, that they will protect you. It's just it's one of those rare things that folks have in life. If you have the right people in your life, I certainly think of my father when I think of having confidence in someone. No one is perfect, but I knew my dad's commitment to God. I knew his commitment to me. He was a man of his word. He walked with God. I trusted him, and certainly I am deeply blessed because of it. But you know, it's even far more important for us to be in a relationship with the Lord that we have a deep, settled confidence in him. And you know, a lot of people don't. Now, they theologically do. They could tell you the right things about God and his faithfulness and that God will keep his word and all of these things. But when it comes to a practical reality in their life, there is a lot of doubt. And so it's very important that we come to a place in which we know that we can trust our God with every part of our life. Had the opportunity some years back to go down to Brighton, England, on the coast. And I wanted to go down there because of something that happened on June the 25th, 1865. Hudson Taylor was 33 years of age. He had spent a number of years already in China. He had gone through the process of learning the culture, getting a burden for the people. He had learned the language and had worked very hard at being effective in reaching the masses there in China. Had been through a lot. And yet, there was so little accomplished, but such a great vision that God had given to him. And he was really struggling, frankly, about that. And so he was spending some time on the coast there, and he was walking the beach there on the south coast of England. And it was on a quiet Sunday that he took a step of faith in response to a simple scriptural principle that he had just discovered. He was surprised that this simple truth had eluded him so long. It was simply this: if we are obeying the Lord and what he wants us to do, the responsibility rests with him, not with us. Simple truth, but it switched from knowing what God wanted to knowing that it would be God, then if he wanted to do it, he would accomplish it if we stayed in dependence upon him. The months of struggle were over. Peace flooded his soul. It's wonderful to read that in his biography. And away he went. He threw aside caution and all human reasonableness, and he formed the China Inland Mission. And his goal was to reach every province before he died. And he did. It was a series of miracles. And he had still, his great spiritual time of growth came even a little bit later. But he started down the path of learning that he could have confidence in God. Look with me, please, at 1 John chapter 5 as we're getting close to the end of this series. And here we see the wonderful confidence that we can have as believers in a couple of things here. Really come to the climax, the summation of the great burden of the Apostle John, this one who had been so close to the Lord in his earthly ministry, but now reveled in the much closer relationship that he had with him in his spiritual oneness because of the indwelling of the Spirit. And he talks about the fellowship that he had with the Lord and that we can have one with another. And all throughout this book, you have the assurance of our relationship with him through the abiding fellowship that God wants us to have. Jesus, as we talked about this morning, he is resurrected. He is in glory. He's real. And we can have that kind of relationship. This is not just theology. This is reality. And that was the whole burden of the Apostle John there as the last living apostle, that people would learn to be thrilled that they could have an abiding, close, dependent, real relationship with Jesus. And if you do, everything else changes. When it is settled in your heart that you have confidence in him, your life will change. And there's two areas that do seem to elude a lot of people. Two basic areas. I'm talking about Christians, truly saved. But you know, a lot of Christians struggle with assurance of salvation. I don't know of a more crippling problem than that. That shouldn't be part of a Christian's life at all. And then, confident in their prayer life. So many Christians, right there, you have it. You have the opportunity to fellowship with Him and know that God will lead, guide, direct, answer everything you need you can have in your relationship with the Lord, and yet there is an insecurity in that relationship. That's tragic. I mean, you can't get any more basic than that. And so that's what we have here in these verses that we'll be endeavoring to look at here tonight, beginning with the verse that we often quote, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. There's a lot here. I'm not sure we're going to get through all through it, but I wanted you to see this whole section together. Confident in our relationship with the Lord, confident in a God that answers prayer, and confident that our intercession makes a difference. Those are big deals. It really is a big part of our life when it comes to our understanding of the Lord. Well, as we've been through this book, over and over we have seen what happens in a life of a Christian who is living in a genuine vital union with Christ. We call it abiding in Him, remaining in Him, as is often said here. And so this is the central theme of 1 John. And when a Christian is in vital union with the Lord, first they will have assurance of their salvation. You know, a lot of people who are truly saved don't have assurance. And it isn't that they're not saved, it's that they're not abiding. And Satan loves to get people looking at themselves, their experience, what happened when they made a profession, and all of those things, and that's tragic. So let's look, first of all, the confidence we can have of our eternal life. Here he is very personal. He said, I have written these things unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Reminds you, doesn't it, of John chapter 20, verse 31 in the gospel. He said, but these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, that believing ye might have life through His name. The thrust of John, the gospel of John, was the fact that Jesus is the Son of God and eternal life is through Him alone. The thrust of 1 John is that life in Christ is through the abiding fellowship that we have with Him, and we should have a changed life and conquering sin and having right doctrine about Christ, and that we love the brethren. All of these things are the marks of the flow of the vine through the branches in that abiding relationship. And so here he gives this strong conclusion that we should be very confirmed in our assurance of salvation. Now, what's the key here? The key is our looking to Jesus, having put our faith alone in the Son of God. Now, the word know here, let me start with that. This is not the word that we often talk about that comes from, if it's a verb, gnosko, a form of that, which means to know through experience, to gain an understanding so that we know. This word is instead the idea of a settled intuitive knowledge. It is a depth of understanding and convincement that causes there to be absolute confidence. This is something you know. This is the assurance that the Spirit of God gives someone who has put their faith in Christ The Spirit of God is there now. He seals their life. And when they are living in the relationship as they should, open fellowship with the Lord, then they're constantly, the witness of the Spirit is there, that intuitive, deep, inner, they know. They know. And so, it is not presumptuous, folks, to say, I know, and I have total assurance. A lot of folks do struggle with assurance of salvation, especially when they're younger. And I had a very wise father. I was saved at 4, and frankly, I don't think I ever had a doubt about my salvation. It's fuzzy when I remember what happened. I remember Dad preaching, and I went forward, and I remember that. But Dad would just simply say along the way, Jesus is salvation. You put your trust in Him. That's all that matters. And the more you walk with God, the more you know that you put your faith alone in Christ. And it's a settled thing. And it's just one of those realities. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so even as a little kid, I had put my faith. I knew that. I believed that He died for me, rose again. I had trusted in Him. I tell you what, it's a wonderful thing to have confidence that you're saved. Got problems with assurance tonight? Look to Jesus. He saves you, not how you did it. It doesn't matter if you say the prayer right or whatever. Have you trusted in Him alone? He's the only way of salvation. Then my friend, I'm going to be with you and we're going to be together in heaven forever. Isn't that glorious? Because it's Jesus, not us. It's not how you did it. It's not how you worked yourself up. That's religion, my friend. It's Jesus who saves. And you got to understand that He is the Savior, the Son of God, who died in our place, and He rose again, and you put your faith in Him, and you call upon Him to save you. It's done. Jesus is the one that saves. We don't do something to make it happen. We simply exercise our will and trust Him. But you know, it's very important. The whole theme of this book is very important to understand the context of the 13th verse here. He said, I've written all these things unto you. What has been the thrust? You got to walk with Him. You see, abiding in Christ is focusing on whom? Jesus. Jesus is the source of your life. He is the purpose of life. You learn to depend upon Him for all the things in life that you need to be able to grow and to be able to be productive and to be able to glorify Him. And you begin to fellowship with Him and you abide in Him. It becomes more and more real how that your relationship is genuine and that you have truly trusted Him. I mean, the issue of assurance is not there. Listen, folks, you can't meet with Jesus and have a problem with assurance. By the way, if you have your hour with God every day, maybe you've struggled a little bit, maybe you're an insecure kind of person, maybe you've been disappointed by authorities in your life, your parents or whatever, maybe you've been hurt by them. A lot of people have been abused and have had to get over that kind of thing. Tell you what, you start meeting with the Lord and get in the Word and meet with Him every day, you will find, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's what Jesus said when He revealed Himself there in, He will reveal Himself in the book of Revelation in the days to come. So it is the Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God, the sons of God. So it's a wonderful, wonderful passage here. And the last part there, and that ye may believe, it has the idea of to those believing into the name of the Son of God. In other words, these things have I written, those of you that believe on the name of the Son of God, so that you can have the deeper and growing knowledge and assurance that of your life, your eternal life, and that will lead you into more faith, into knowing the name of the Son of God and walking by faith. Listen, folks, if you struggle with assurance, you won't take any other steps of faith. You got to just get that settled. Look to Jesus. And then you abide in Him and start seeing God work here, The assurance issue gets far behind you because you are now in a personal, living, vital, abiding relationship with Him. You know, if a person actually saw something and it was real, you can't talk them out of it. Have you ever had somebody try to talk you out of something you knew was true? It's really frustrating. Had that happen a couple of times. No, I saw it. I mean, sorry, it's just, you know, the song, How Do I Know He Lives? He lives within my heart. The Bible says it. That's number one. But number two, the fact is, I know him. I've met him. He's real. And the more you know him, the more precious. And you're not, you see, assurance is all about you wanting to feel good and get peace. The object is Jesus. And the more you focus on him, the less that situation will come up. And so this whole matter of really trusting him is vital. And that leads us then into this assurance of an eternal hearing that we have in the matter of prayer. If we can't trust him in the matter of assurance of salvation, how in this world are we going to trust him that he can meet our needs in these other areas? And so it all gets down to having fellowship with him. I'll tell you, Christian, if you've doubted about this and doubted about that, and you've wondered where God is, and you've wondered about your Christian life, and you're all over the place emotionally, I can tell you the problem is that you've been away from a genuine fellowship with the Lord. And you've not been in the Word. You've not let the Spirit of God illumine the Word to you. You haven't been responding to him. You haven't been growing. Your life has been distracted by temporal things. And the more this secular world is dominating you and you're not walking with God, very easy for Satan to bring fears and doubts and just bombard you with things that will get you out of off track in your Christian life. So one of the best things you can do for a real, just a sense of confidence is to take those steps of faith. By the way, the step of faith you took this morning or tonight on the journey will be so important because you're looking to him, and I promise you he'll prove himself to you in this 40-day journey. He will not let you down, and it's very important for you. All right, let's look at this matter of prayer. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of him. The idea is, don't just rest in the great assurance of your salvation. There's a lot that God wants to accomplish. You're a child of God. You have the privilege to go to the throne of grace. And the same confidence you have in your relationship with the Lord needs to be translated now into an intercession in your prayer life that will allow the omnipotent arm of God to do miracles because you have prayed. And so in an abiding relationship, there will be an increased assurance and confidence in this matter of our prayer life. Now notice that there is a connection between verses 13 and 14, and this is the confidence. So we have confidence in our eternal life, and therefore we can have confidence then in the one that provided eternal life to meet the needs of our life. Now, this is a wonderful verse. The word confidence here in verse 14 is actually more than what we think of. We have a confidence, a trust, and so forth, but it actually has a different angle to it, though that's part of it. It has the idea of boldness of speech, freedom of speech, which enables us to express our thoughts and desires before God without hesitancy or fear of embarrassment. When you have a solid relationship with someone, and you know you're confident in their love for you and their interest in you, then it's not a problem for you to go and share your heart with them. You know, a good marriage, I know with my wife, I have confidence that I can talk to her and share with her, and she is going to want to respond, listen, and do whatever is needed, especially if I'm opening my heart about something that is a real burden. Well, you take that, multiply it by infinity, and you've got God. So a Christian who knows their position, who is confident in their salvation, and are abiding in Christ where they have been meeting with Him face to face, they have boldness, openness, confidence. They can go boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. Now, I want you to understand, the progression in the hour with God that we've given to you does not start with intercession. Have you noticed that? In fact, what happens? You spend 25 minutes before you ever get to intercession. I believe that's critical. Because you've got to get to a place where you're on full speaking terms with God, okay? You're thrilled about who He is. You have worshiped and yielded to Him. You have confessed your sin. You have dealt with the counterfeit attack and the oppression of Satan. You are standing upon the promises that God has already given you in the days previous. And as your heart is stirred as to what God has done, who He is, and how much He loves you, and that you're forgiven, and that you're in good standing, then you can just go right boldly to the throne of grace. It's a powerful thing. And that's what this is talking about. And this is the boldness. This is the openness. This is the freedom. This is the inward intimacy that we have in Him. And so we should have that great freedom. In fact, it speaks of an intimate face-to-face relationship with God in prayer. You know, there are inside confidants that are the power brokers in almost any person who's in authority. And folks, believe it or not, we have an inside track to the ruler of the universe because of Jesus. And if we're living in a face-to-face relationship with Him, we are going to go and we're going to see things happen. It's much better than the Oval Office. Believe me. It's much better than any power place you can think of. And He's our friend. He's our advocate. Jesus has prayed for you today. The Holy Spirit has made groanings, intercession on your behalf today. Folks, we are in an amazing place to have God on our side, and we can go to Him, and He will even enable us. He is the Spirit of prayer to enable us to go to that throne with openness, with confidence, with inside track, with an understanding of the Trinity, with the ability to know the heart of God and to be able to pray and see God do mighty things which we know not. And this matter of anything is an amazing thing. If we ask anything, you know, those little things, embarrassing things, hurtful things, big things, hard things, anything. Now, there's a key here. This is not trying to find the fatalistic will of God. This is knowing the heart of God. Did you hear me? I'm going to say something, and I want you to understand it right. God has a will. He is sovereign. But this may surprise you. God means it when He says He has given a will to man. And I don't understand it all. But the one thing I know is that God's will is not being completely done on earth as it is in heaven, is it? Folks, we are not living in the millennium right now. Any of you all millennialists or post-millennial or whatever, if this is the kingdom, I am really disillusioned, I tell you. I mean, this is really bad. really warps my idea of God, so I won't get into that. But the fact is that, folks, how many people does He want to be saved? Are they all saved? What's God's will for you? How much should your sanctification be seen in your life now? He wants you what in Christ Jesus? Perfect, complete. How many of you can honestly say, and I'm not asking you to raise your hand because no one could, but how many could honestly say, I have completed everything God wanted me to do last week? I have been in the 100% full will of God in my life. Now, you can look back and say, I have lived as best I know in the will of God, and there has been consistent victory. But folks, it's a staggering thing to realize that God waits for man to exercise his will and faith in him, to trust him, and then what he says in his word, his will is revealed in his word, and as we trust him, then his will is activated, and God does great and mighty things. Now, it's interesting, if you go back to chapter 3 with me here, chapter 3, verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have what? Confidence toward God. Verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Okay, that prayer promise parallels this other prayer promise. What's the key there? The key is keeping his commandments. Now, folks, another way to say his commandments would be, we are keeping his will. Wouldn't you say that has similar ideas? It's the idea we are observing his heart through his teaching, his words, his word. And so we are, when we keep, we observe, we listen, we obey by the power of the Spirit to his commandments, we are living in his will. And if we ask anything in that state, we're going to have that prayer answered. Here we have the same idea. If we're looking to Jesus, if we have that wonderful knowledge of our relationship with him, we're abiding in him, then this is the boldness. This is that freedom of speech. This is that ability to come right to the throne and to have that confidence that if we ask anything, according to his will, he hears us. Good verse on this is the verse that concludes the abiding section there in John 15, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Notice that. Abiding, having fellowship, the words, his commandments, if they abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Do you believe that? Now, you know, I got to know my father so well, I didn't even have to ask him what he wanted me to do. You know, for the most part, I could figure it out. I knew what his heart was. I knew what he believed. I knew what he thought. I knew what his burden was. I knew what his latest burden was, especially when I worked with him there for those number of years. And I learned what to ask him for, or what to talk about, or what to do, because I understood his heart. When we abide in him, when we observe his commandments, when we know his word, when we're fellowshipping with him, this is what this whole book is about, when we understand who the resurrected Christ is, what he has promised, and all that is important to him, and the great work he wants to do in his people, as you're abiding in him, do you think it's any problem to know what his will is? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be done unto him. I appreciate Dr. Tim Berry. He was such a blessing to us a few months ago when he was here again. I was discussing this with him in the Philippines when I visited him a few years ago, and I was reveling in some of these truths, and he says, you know, Pastor, and of course he's a very solid theologian, and he said, you know, I have an even simpler perspective. I believe that if your heart is right and you got something you pray about, God's just going to answer that prayer. I thought, wow, that is so refreshing. What he meant, it was simply, you know, let's don't get all tied up in knots. When you have a real relationship, God's gonna lead you, guide you, and he's going to just give you burdens. He's going to give you the desires of your heart. You're going to pray, and God is going to so work that he's going to listen to your prayers. You know, I don't I don't even know how to explain it theologically, but God just loves to bestow good gifts, and he loves to hear and answer our prayers. And when we know his heart, we're going to pray his heart. When we know who he is, we're going to pray about what he really is. Let's don't limit God by this verse. Let's revel in it. So what it says is that if you have his heart, if you are fellowshipping with him, if you're keeping his commandments by the grace of God, if you know him and you have this boldness to come to have a hearing, you have a face-to-face relationship with him, that that you're going to, that if we ask anything according to his will or down the line of who he is, he's going to answer. When you get a hearing, see, the whole point is, Holy Spirit's working, you're fellowshipping with him, here's your heart's desire, you're thinking biblically, your heart is biblical, you want what God wants, you glorify God, you're in the throne room, brother, and you can ask him. You see, if you get a hearing, it's done. I mean, if your heart is united with his heart, it's done. That's what it says. Let's look at it again. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth, there it is, that same word, by the way, that innate confidence that he heareth, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. As we were discussing the bus, sure, we'd like a bus. Trying to figure out how to do it. God gave no peace about trying to figure it out. We didn't know what to do. All of a sudden, the availability of this situation, it was really a miracle. We began to see God working. So I was asking God about it. God said, you know, you can ask me just like you did for the other bus. I want to do greater things. And I could see that coming. Got together with other people. They started to pray. God began to just, as we began to get bold and get into the throne of grace, he began to say, that's what he wants to do. I mean, it wasn't me trying to figure out the will of God. God was leading me along, leading others along by his Spirit. And, you know, it wasn't long. You may have thought it was sort of unique even when we passed deadlines, when we said, God's going to do it. I know it. Well, when you got a hearing, you know it. Not a mystery. You know it. That's why you need corporate prayer, so you hear the voice of the Lord in other people's hearts, because sometimes our hearts are deceitful. But you know it. You just know it. Now, sometimes your flesh gets really shaky, okay, and you get a bit nervous, but your heart still has peace. Now, folks, is it God's will for your relative to be saved? That one you don't have to have any question about. Is it God's will to meet your daily need? Absolutely. Is it God's will? We could go right on to talk about all the things that he's made it very clear. Is it God's will, even your sanctification? Did you know he'll give you power to be absolutely pure if you'll trust him? You can have confidence. You can know it. And on down the line. And then as it breaks into subjective things, you are thinking scripturally, and the Spirit of God in your abiding relationship says, if you'll ask anything in my name, I will do it. Friend, the problem is not an analytical deciding what to pray for. It is our relationship with him. That's the point John's trying to say. When you have confidence in your eternal relationship with him and then have confidence in your everyday relationship with him, you can pray with absolute confidence. Now, folks, I don't like this yes, no, maybe stuff, okay? Because that breaks it down the wrong way. He said, pray, I'll answer. The Spirit will lead. It's all about abiding in Christ. I'm telling you, you go through some mysteries of life and you'll go through some things that you may have to wait on the Lord, and there will be sometimes great struggles. But when you are abiding in him, you have boldness, you have confidence, you know God's working, you know God's going to bring this through, and it gets fine-tuned as you go along, and God will not ever let you hang, or he will never hurt your faith. Listen, if you're sincerely walking with him, he will always take care of you. Did you hear me? You can trust him. If you look at yourself, you're in trouble. Oh, I question myself a lot. Well, believe me, after the first time on the bus that I brought it public, I thought, what did I do? You know, I'm in trouble now. I remember telling that to the deacons the next Sunday. I'm had, you know, from a human standpoint, but that's okay because God was working. But God will just work in your heart. It's all about him. How do you have assurance of salvation? You look to Jesus, right? How do you have assurance in prayer? You look to Jesus. That's the point of John. Abide in him. Know his heart. Understand his word. Live a life of where he is enabling you, and he will progressively teach you what is his will and what is important to him. He will cause you to have more and more confidence about what you can pray in your life. And my friends, we haven't begun to scratch the surface of what he wants us to pray for this community, for this state, for our country, for this world. My friends, we have such unbelief. God wants to destroy that unbelief. He wants to make us confident, bold intercessors that believe our God's big enough to reach every province in China, every county in Wisconsin, every province in Cambodia. You say, that's foolish humanly. Yeah, it isn't foolish with God. But what's the first key? You got to fellowship with him, and you got to keep his words, and you got to walk with him, and God will work. And it's a wonderful thing. These are present tense verbs showing that the experience should be the ongoing reality. And one other final thought. You notice how it's stated there at the end of verse 15. We know we have the petitions that we desired of him. Again, I don't understand it all. All I know is when I go to Jesus, he never lets me down. And he never will you either. You know, we just all need to get like little children. Little children just trust the Lord. I remember when little Elizabeth, my wife is an apple addict, and we didn't have apples. And we were struggling financially at that point. And little Elizabeth got down and prayed. And Wayne. That's right, Wayne was in the hospital even at that time. I forgot that part of it. But she just prayed, and she got up and said, God's going to give us apples. And, of course, I'm a sophisticated pastor, you know, ordained to the ministry. And so I thought, Lord, you heard that. Now you got... She just believed. Wasn't long. A few hours later, a Korean missionary... Didn't have a lot of money himself, but God impressed him. At the time she prayed, he was in Wisconsin. We were living in Illinois, and he got a bag of apples for us and brought it to our door. Big, okay, I need to get this story right. A big, lots of apples. He does abundantly above. And you know what? My wife and I were so amazed. Elizabeth said, he's not amazed at all. Of course God was going to do that. Well, we clutter up. Listen, folks, it's not a sophisticated perspective on theology. It is unbelief so often and lives that do not know him. You know, I'd love for this church just to be a simple church. We believe God, and we can ask him for anything. And God will work in our hearts. He'll draw us close to him. If we fellowship with him, folks, the heavens are the limit of what God can do. Well, you're going to have to come back next week. Sorry, I went a little longer here. Next week, we're going to talk about those people you love. We got a promise here. It's a big promise in light of what we just talked about. What about people and sin? Know anybody in sin? Know anybody you're burdened about? Great, great couple of verses here. Oh, may God give us a heart to trust the Lord. Let's bow for prayer. So we bow before the Lord. Maybe there's someone here You'd say, Pastor, there was a time I put my faith in Christ, but I've got to admit, I have struggled at times with doubting, and I realize tonight I just simply need to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. And he's the one that saved me, and I don't need to look at what happened before. I just need to just be very settled in my relationship with him, and I want to get past that in my life and have an abiding relationship. And I'm done with this introspective perspective. I need victory. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip up your hand if that's your burden here tonight? All right. God bless you. Because that's important. Look to Jesus. He will meet that need. How many tonight would say, oh, Pastor, I realize that the reason prayer sometimes seems like such a mystery to me is that I don't know the heart of God nearly like I should. I am not fully yielded to his commandments. I am not abiding in him. I am not depending upon him. I'm not living that Christ life, and therefore prayer just seems still, to think I could just ask and he's going to work and that he'll lead and guide me and that I can have great confidence, I can have boldness, I want to develop that simple faith in the Lord in which I know he answers prayer, that I have this confidence and I know how to get into the inner sanctum of God's presence and be able to understand what he's doing and to know his heart and then to claim what he is wanting me to claim biblically and in my heart, and I want to learn what it means to access real victory through prayer. And I'm not there like I should be, and that's a real heart that I want to have. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up if that is your heart cry here tonight? I need to become just that kind of genuine, simple prayer warrior. God bless you. Amen. Many hands here tonight. Maybe you're here and you're not certain you're saved because you aren't saved. Never trusted the Lord. Never looked to Jesus. You'd say, Pastor, I'm burdened about that. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up? I'd love to pray for you tonight. Anybody like that? Now, Lord, would you take these truths and just help us with them? Pray that you'll just work mightily in hearts and lives. And Lord, would you bless in this invitation time any decisions that ought to be made? Would you give the strength to make them? Now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.